It's good to see everyone here tonight. I hope that what I have to say will benefit all of you and that it will help us all to live better Christian lives. Today we're going to examine the second section of Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Last time I spoke about the duties of older men found in verse 2, but this time I'm going to talk about verse 3, which shows us the requirements for older women. Let's read Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 to begin our study. Titus chapter 2, 1 through 8 says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." I want everyone to try to learn from each of these studies, even if they don't fit in the group of people that's being discussed. Most of the virtues that are given in Titus chapter 2 apply to all people. It's more difficult to listen if you don't feel like the teacher will benefit you. But I'm preaching to everyone in this room, including myself. The first attribute that Titus chapter 2 commands older women to have is holy behavior. Holy means entirely devoted to God and His work. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 shows us that we need to have holy behavior in order to help other people. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Showing forth His praises means letting your light shine. We, as Christians, are the chosen people, and God wants all people to be baptized to become a part of the chosen people. God wants all Christians to teach others, but the pulpit isn't the only place that we can teach. One teaching method that is just as beneficial doesn't even have to involve verbal teaching. This method only involves a holy lifestyle. If we live lives that are totally devoted to God, we won't look like a normal person. We won't blend in with other people. People will notice more modest clothing, better speech, and overall, a better lifestyle. But our goal shouldn't be to get noticed. That's not what needs to get done. Our holy behavior should teach others and point them to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, applies this specifically to women. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands." These are some of the ways that women can let their light shine. God has commanded them to avoid vanity, to be modest, to love their husbands, to submit to their husbands, and so much more. But worldly women don't follow these commandments. Christian women have to be different. They have to be the people who follow God's commandments, get noticed by other people because of their holy behavior, but still give the glory to God. And they need to do this so that other people will get the gospel and be able to get to heaven. Older women must be a good example for the younger people who don't have as firm a foundation. Older women, younger people look up to you. And whether you like it or not, they will follow what you do. Your holy behavior not only saves your soul, but it also helps others to come to Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, shows us that holy behavior will make us blameless before Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." When Christ returns, where do you want to be? Do you want to be that person who has holy behavior and who is pleasing to him, who's blameless before him? Or are you going to be that person who doesn't have holy behavior, who doesn't follow God's commandments? Do not put off holy behavior until tomorrow, next week, or your next New Year's resolution, because we may not even make it to the next minute. We must all seek holiness and serve God with all that we have in order to be blameless when he comes. Holiness is necessary in order to see God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 emphasizes that fact. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Some denominations like to say that everyone's going to heaven, we're just taking different routes. Or that you have to be destined to go to heaven in order to see God. Both of these are completely misleading. The only way you can get to heaven is by conscious effort to please God. Without pouring your heart and soul into serving God, you absolutely will not see him. The second attribute that older women are commanded to have is avoiding false accusations. A false accuser is someone who tells evil lies about other people, a thing which is extremely displeasing to God. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19 shows us that God hates lies. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." Hate is an extremely strong word. It is an extremely intense dislike for something. God absolutely despises lies. So what will happen to us if we do accuse someone falsely? Psalms chapter 101, verse 5, shows us that those who slander, the same as a false accuser, will be cut off. Psalms chapter 101 and verse 5 says, "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer." This verse associates pride with slander. I wonder why they do that. Have you ever heard someone humbly belittle someone else? Or belittle them just to make them feel good? As far as I can tell, pride causes evil speech. God will cut these prideful slanderers away from him, and he won't have a great deal of mercy on those who don't have mercy on their fellow man. If we want God to be merciful on us, we have to seek perfection in our speech. James chapter 3 and verse 2 shows us that this perfect speech is a great virtue. James chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Bridle your tongue. A horse that isn't trained or restrained will do exactly what it wants to do. And we're the same way. If we don't bridle our tongue, we will say things that we wouldn't say if we tried to restrain ourselves. Those who bridle their tongues and think before they speak are perfect. Those who have mastered their mouths will not be those false accusers and won't be abominable to God. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 13 through 20 shows us when we should speak and when we should shut our mouths. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 13 through 20 says, "In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander, is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth." This verse tells us that those who lie and slander are fools. It also shows us that wise people say wise and helpful things, and foolish people say the evil and harmful things. It seems like the older, wiser people usually hold their tongues better and have more wisdom in their speech. Older women are looked up to for better speech. And without having that better speech, the younger people will not be influenced in a good way. Thinking before we speak and studying to gain more wisdom will help our speech to help others. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 4 through 5 shows us that instead of slandering and lying, we need to replace those things by giving thanks. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 4 through 5 says, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." If we don't stop slandering, lying, and speaking foolishly, we won't see God. Instead, we have to be thankful and kind to other people. The verse says, "But rather giving of thanks," which means we have to replace the other things, replace the anger and unkindness with the thankful and pleasant attitude that will help others to live better lives. The third thing that older women are supposed to do is avoid alcohol. Although alcoholic beverages are not exactly forbidden in the Bible, they are highly discouraged. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 29 through 35 shows us that intoxicated people will do things that they never would have dreamed of doing otherwise. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 29 through 35 says, "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." Alcohol puts thousands of people in terrible positions. This passage shows us that just looking at it can make people desire it, which will make them drink it if they don't restrain themselves. By that time, people are already on the road to addiction. And although some stop, many are caught up in their addiction until the end of their days. Where it says their eyes will behold strange women, it is speaking of adultery, the terrible sin of lusting after a person of the opposite sex. The passage talks about sorrow, pain, and troubles that are caused by alcohol. Many people are caught up in this sin so much that they anticipate waking up from their intoxication so that they can go and feed their addiction again. Alcohol not only causes physical pain and sorrow, but it also causes many spiritual issues. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10 shows us that drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." This verse gives us a list of sinners that absolutely will not inherit the kingdom of God. And in this list, we find drunkards. Although forgiveness is available, many stay in their sins and will eventually perish. Some, including me, say, "I would never do that. I would never drink." But we might be surprised at how many drunkards have said the exact same thing. We have to be on our guard against this addictive substance that has ruined so many lives. If you don't drink, I'm thankful for that. But if you do, don't wait until it's too late to repent. Forgiveness is available. And if you turn your life around and start following the Bible, then you will be forgiven of your sins. Don't be the one who stays in sin until it's everlastingly too late. The final thing that older women are supposed to do is be teachers of good things. Older women should not only flee these sin problems, but also teach other people to flee sin. Many women don't know exactly when and where they're allowed to teach. Women can teach just as well as men, but the places they can teach are more limited. One problem is teaching in the assemblies. Some congregations have begun to accept woman preachers. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 shows us that this practice is forbidden. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34 says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law." Women are commanded not to preach in assemblies. But where else can they teach? If they can't teach from the pulpit, where can they teach? Acts chapter 18, verse 26 shows an example of a woman teaching in private. Acts chapter 18, verse 26 says, "And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." A man named Aquila and his wife Priscilla heard a man named Apollos preaching. Because Apollos hadn't learned all that he needed in order to teach like he was doing, they taught him more fully. Don't overlook Priscilla's part in teaching Apollos. Although women aren't allowed to preach in the worship services, they are allowed to teach in these private studies. And these are just as important as teaching from the pulpit. We as teachers can't just teach whatever we want, though, because that would be entirely useless. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 gives us an example of what older women are expected to teach. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." These are some of the things that older women are commanded to teach. They can teach anyone, but teaching the younger women is a fantastic example. In order to teach these things to the younger women, the older women must also follow the commandments. All people must teach others in some way. Whether you are a man who preaches from the pulpit or a woman who teaches in private, God has commanded you to teach. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he mentioned the great amount of assistance he had gotten from women and the reward that they would get. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life." These godly women had labored with Paul in the gospel. Whether they were actually teaching, helping him with their hospitality, or fulfilling some other role, apparently they had assisted Paul greatly. Young and old women play a greater role in the church than some seem to think. All Christians are equally valuable, and all who fight in Christ's army and spread the gospel will be written in the book of life. This book of life is a list of all those who will go to heaven. All those who resist the devil and follow God with all their heart will see Jesus someday. Holy behavior, avoiding false accusations, avoiding alcohol, and spreading the gospel are worthy virtues that we should all try to flourish in. I hope that this study will help us all to be better Christians and to be more pleasing to God. Christians who don't strive to follow God won't be at all acceptable to Him, and those who aren't Christians won't either. If you aren't a Christian and you would like to be baptized tonight, we'd love to assist you with that. Or if you are a Christian who has forsaken the characteristics that we've studied tonight, and you would like the prayers of the church, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.